and welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful 18th day of December 2017. It's getting slim here, boy. Christmas is a-coming, and New Year's and all that good fun stuff. We're going to talk about that next week. But this week, we're going to talk a little bit about right and wrong, and how do you know what's right and wrong and good and bad and all that other great stuff that people like to argue about. If you are enjoying these radio programs, which I hope you are, I want to remind you that it is only through your tax-deductible donations that we are able to sustain and maintain our radio program, our TV program, which you can see on our website at aspire.org. You can go there and look under media, and there will be radio and TV, and there's lots of programs there for you. And these are supported by people such as yourself who listen to the radio and watch the TV programs and help us with the money that is necessary to pay the bills for these things. And while your donations are tax deductible, they do far more than that when you make a donation. They go into the lives of people who are watching and listening to these offerings. And I hope that you will become a sponsor. If you would like a little more information about what it means to be a sponsor and what that entails, you go to the website at aspire.org and you will see support. And if you click on that, a drop-down menu will come and it will tell you all about where your donations go and how important they are, that they are tax deductible. You will receive a receipt for your donations, and you receive some little gifts that I think are pretty interesting. The first one being that of 122 discourses I've done over the past 30 years on various subjects like Cahil Gibran's work on the Prophet, the Tao Te Ching, the Eightfold Path of Buddha. Nobody Likes You Anyway, one of the most popular series I ever did. There's one on the touch, or what it means to live your life and be touched by the presence of a great love that lives within you. There's all sorts of different discourse there. They're all yours for free. You can download them, do whatever you want with them. You also get my podcast, video cast, and commentaries that I do twice a month. And you will receive each and every month the message of the month. And that's a little ditty I do help you along on a certain subject that I'm working on, along with my journal, the breath journal that I publish every month, and the monthly discourses. Those are all included in your, shall we say, monthly education. So if you're interested, go to the website at aspire.org and help humankind, won't you? You're not going to help them through politics, believe me. You're really not. And this is not about religion or philosophy. This is about a way of life, changing the way we live as a life worth living. And that's another one. Socrates' great teachings are involved in the TV program, A Life Worth Living. You can go see that, and you can listen to the discourses for them. They're very special, and I hope you will become a sponsor. A mind no longer seeking to consider what is right and wrong, good or bad, Buddha said, is a clear mind. What does that mean? What are we talking about? A clear mind. Can you have a clear mind? Well, here we go with some questions. I bring this up from time to time in the Eightfold Path. If you go and listen to those discourses or go and watch the program, you will see I talk about the whole idea of going beyond the idea of right and wrong. So people listen to these discourses or watch the TV programs and they ask these questions. The first one comes from Kyle in Los Angeles. How do we know what is right and wrong based in meditation when nothing is right and nothing is wrong? Well, Kyle, isn't that the point? When we meditate, we drop a mind that is dualistic. It is my dualism, my Greg Pan pedestrian mentality dualism that makes my problems, makes it difficult for me to live my life. So when I'm being dualistic, when I am just sitting there judging you and saying, well, you're such a good person, or you're such a bad person, or you're such a this a kind of person or that, whatever it is I'm judging, my mind is becoming split and it is becoming ugly. And when I have this ugly kind of mentality that most of us crave, actually, not only do we want it, we crave it. We miss the meaning and the substance of what it is to have anything that would pertain to the goodness of life. Because the goodness of life lives beyond right and wrong, good and bad. How do you know what is right and wrong? You don't need to know what is right and wrong. Here's what you are looking at. In meditation, you come to a certain place where you no longer need thoughts any longer, where thoughts no longer have any kind of real meaning to you. They don't pertain to anything that is important. So you go beyond your conventional mind, conventional thinking, and all of a sudden, right and wrong drop away, and you start to realize, Kyle, that which is. Now, that which is does not need my Greg Penn commentary. It is what it is, what it is. And it doesn't need Greg Penn to say anything about what it isn't and what it should be. When you start looking at your life from the premise of what is, a certain awakening starts to happen. A certain gesture within you will start to occur. You will start to feel love. For the first time, you will see that this is all encased in love. This whole thing of life is just a matter of love itself. It doesn't matter what I think it is. It doesn't matter what I want it to be. It is just about love. And once I understand that, and I come to, so to speak, be at peace with that, that is when something magnificent starts to arise in my heart. My heart opens up. Knowing what is right and wrong, or good and bad, as you put here, doesn't really matter. Because what is going to happen is going to happen. And accepting that for what it is, how it works, the way it is the most important thing I can do with my life. Most of us do not go there. We do not live in that. We don't have that kind of mentality. We're always looking for what gives us what we want and what takes away what we don't want. And as long as we live in this kind of duality, we will miss the meaning of everything that is pertinent to the spiritual heart of us. Because, Kyle, it is all about the spiritual heart. We're not here to have any other thing but the spiritual heart. And when the spiritual heart starts to arise in me, when I start to feel the nature of love, then thoughts become obsolete. And I know this sounds incredibly silly to you, but thoughts will become obsolete. You won't need them. A new intelligence is born in us. This intelligence does not depend upon genetic dispositions or DNA. It doesn't depend upon education or anything else. Our thoughts become obsolete. And we start living by this beautiful premise of love. A higher state of consciousness begins to arise in us. We start to discover it. It has always been there. We were never without it, but we lived without it because of our stubbornness and our willfulness. Once you and I understand this for totality, in totality, that means something starts to change in us that is very, very important. And when that starts to change, we look at life differently. We see it for what it is and not see it through the eyes and the spectacles, as it were, of our conventional mind that is only looking for survival, clanny stuff, how to belong to a clan or some kind of tribe. We start looking for the meaning of everything upon the face of the heart, love. People don't trust love because it is a very difficult thing to trust love. It isn't emotional. Real love is not emotional. So that makes it all the harder to trust. We just have such a difficult time with trust. What to trust? I hope that helped, Kyle. Please forgive me. Namaste. Dave is the next one. And he lives in, where is this? New Mexico. I don't think I've ever had a question from New Mexico. What is a mind that is not considering right and wrong, as Buddha said? Is there anything else other than this kind of mind? Dave, is there anything else other than this kind of mind? Well, there's the logical mind, the reasoning mind, the cynical mind, the analytical mind, the philosophical mind, the religious mind. I guess there are quite a few, you could say. But you ask, what is the mind that is not considering right and wrong? Buddha talked about it as a no mind, a mind that isn't a mind. This is very hard for people to get because your thoughts can't think themselves. You know what I mean? They can't, they don't and won't think themselves. You have to push them along. You have to give them incentive. So let me ask you, Dave, what is the incentive for your thinking? I will guarantee you, for the most part, it will probably have something to do with survival. That is where most people's thoughts are. It's in survival. They want to survive. They want to make it. They want to have enough money and stuff and people to keep them occupied. And I mean just occupied all throughout their life. Occupied meaning that something takes up that space in your thinking. Something takes up that whole thing in your mind. Now, when that is the case of a person's life, when they're just wanting to occupy their mind, their life goes down the drain. It's all about lifestyle for people. Do they have enough luxury? Do they have enough security? Do they have enough to impress people? What is it that is most important to the average person but to impress another person? So we live in this folderol of trying to occupy our minds with survival stuff that we think is very important and that will bring us some sort of, prestige, I guess, recognition, attaboys. That's really what most people want, is attaboys. But a no mind, what is this thing? And how would one even attain it? One of the first things, Dave, that I found for myself is that you have to realize there's no way out. There's no way out of your life the way it is, based on your circumstances and your conditions dictating how the mind is going to think. Now, you can look at your circumstances and your conditions in your life and think to yourself, I need to change these. So you can change them, okay? And you can make them into something different if you like. But the author of those thoughts is still in my case, Greg. And what can he do? He can only think in the genetic box of his brain, his DNA. And what is the core of Greg's brain? Emotionality. And what are his emotions about? Well, about fear. Fear of this, fear of that. And fears change throughout the years. When we're young, we don't have a lot of fear. And then we go and we start getting, whooped around a little bit by our mothers and our fathers, disciplined. And then we got that fear. And then we got the fear of disappointing people. And then it goes on to the fear of, what am I going to do for a living? What is my career going to be? And we just go on and on and on with these fears until it's fear after fear after fear. And the only thing that motivates us is more fear. So fear is a very big part of my Greg Penn pedestrian mentality. Now, a no mind is a mind not considering what to be afraid of. A mind that is liberated from the idea that I need fear to think. I need fear to live in this world. I need fear in some way, shape, or form that will give me something I want. When I'm no longer in that fear, when I'm no longer dealing with that kind of thing through meditation, I have what is called a clear mind. A mind that is absolutely clear. It isn't going here and there, up and down, yonder and down the valley. It isn't doing any of that. It is focused. And what is its basic, core? The interest in transcendence. Because if I don't transcend, I'm stuck with my pedestrian mentality. And if I only live in my Greg Penn pedestrian mentality, I'm going to live split. I'm going to hate this. I'm going to like that. Now I have dualistic thinking. And that dualistic thinking doesn't do me any good at all. Now I start living in cruel intent. And with cruel intent comes karma. Now my life is starting to take on the shape and the form of some very ugly things. Do I understand this? Do I get it? Well, if I'm the average person, no, I don't get it. And I just live to sustain my sense of self-righteousness about all of this, and nothing matures in me. And when I'm not mature, of course, then I start living, grabbing at straws, and I start becoming ugly. And I start doing the ugly. And when I start doing the ugly, then it gets really nasty in my life. And do I do anything about that? Usually, if I'm in my pedestrian mentality, I will probably blame you or you or you. I will never see it as myself. Well, I only did what I did because you did this and you said that and you did nothing over here and you should have done. And you start getting really ugly. So there you are, David. It's not important what my mind thinks. What is important is the core of my meditation, silence. The language of life is silence. The language of the heart is silence. The language that answers everything is in silence. And once I have come to understand this and accept it, that is when something of a greater nature takes over, a greater beauty. And I start to live my life according to the manner of my spirit, which is love, rather than the beliefs of my brain, which are illusions and delusions. Now, if you can understand what I just said to you there, it will liberate you. You only have one of two choices. You can live according to your thinking, your pedestrian mentality, your earthly stuff, or you can transcend. I suggest transcendence. Please forgive me. Namaste. We don't really think in terms of transcendence, do we? Not really. Last question comes from John. He does not tell me where he lives. Can we live without our hypocrisy of thinking in terms of right and wrong? It would seem to me to be very difficult, he says, to live without the need for knowing what is right and what is wrong in this world. John, you were right, John. It's about hypocrisy. It really is. There are many things that have happened in this world that I have disapproved of, only to find myself doing the same darn thing myself. So I have to ask myself, what is it about me that made all this possible? And what is it that I thought would be different than somebody else's actions and reactions? I can't think in terms of I'm better than you, because I'm not. I'm not better than you. No one should ever think the thoughts that they are better than someone else. But we do, and we like to believe that we are. And it fulfills our self-righteousness and makes us believe we're clever and all those other things that we really aren't. But we want to believe that we are. So this hypocrisy you talk about, it's actually very important to see it for what it is, how it is, the way it lives in me. What am I most hypocritical about? Probably about love. I profess great love, but I do great hate. I profess great love, but I am not generous. I profess great love, but I don't like when people say this or do that. Those are my hypocrisies. I would imagine that we all suffer from in one way or another. And how do you break this hypocrisy, as you put it here? You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. That's the truth. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. Now, if you can do that, then the other shore comes very quickly. And you start to realize the essence of the other shore. Start to realize the value of it and the beauty of it. And you are no longer stuck in the fear and the hate that most people get stuck in. And you have a chance to, so to speak, transcend your own life. It is obvious that people are going to do the things they do, and I can't stop them. I've had students do terrible things, and I've told them before they did them, this is not going to serve you well. But they did it anyway, because that's what they believe they should do. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The fool's milk sours. And it doesn't sour quickly, it sours over time. Those are Buddha's words. In other words, our karma sours. Our actions come back to us one way or the other. And the act of being generous and kind is extremely important. What can I say? Do those things that make love possible. Do those things that are love and make your life possible. Just do them. Want nothing with all of your heart. Your life will change. Believe me, it will. It's a practice. It's a lifestyle. It's not what you think, say, and do. It's a practice and a lifestyle. And it allows you to liberate yourself from the human experience. That is real liberation. And the hypocrisy, it just moves away. You begin to see how to live in oneness rather than divided into so many different categories in your life and living according to the manner of the whims of our emotions rather than the way of the heart. It's all very simple. Thank you for your question, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'm out of here. I am. Go to the website at aspire.org if you have any questions you'd like to pose to me. I'd love it. Just go there and you can email me from there, or just email me from greg@aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.